Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Pulver's Towing. And today I will be joined by Hall of Fame late model driver Gary Crawford. We'll also hear from Doug Miner from Miner's Outdoor in Blooming Prairie. We'll also hear another great tailgating recipe for at the races or your backyard barbecue from our old friend Speed at Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety, and Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit, along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
Have you ever been stuck? I mean, really stuck. This is Darcy from Pulver Towing. Over the years, we've been called to fields and job sites where they've spent days trying to free a piece of equipment from the muck. If you don't have time to wait, call Pulver Towing. Our towing experts will have you out in hours instead of days. With locations in Rochester, Worthington, Fulda, and Marshall, if you're stuck, call Pulver Towing today.
Founded by Jesse Olson in 2004, Medieval Chassis was formed to fulfill a need for better engineered race cars. Medieval Chassis' new state-of-the-art facility has made it a leader in the stock car racing industry and two-time IMCA national champions. The use of a fiber tube laser, CNC tube bender, and flat laser allows Medieval Chassis to engineer and develop a chassis that exceeds all others in performance and adjustability. Find out more today at MedievalChassis.com.
Fires Engine Service of Rochester opened its doors in 1975. Hi, this is Corey. Since 1975, we've been offering complete engine machining services and assembly. From flatheads to big blocks, wide blocks to drag race engines, and street rods to pulling tractors. Plus, Fires Engine Service offers complete dyno service. So if your race car or street car needs a little under the hood, trust the place who's been there since 1975. Contact Fires Engine Service at 507-282-5586.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coatings offer a scientific process that uses heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme powder coatings can deliver multimedia blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and super durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information. Extreme
powder coating. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open for business 7 days a week, year-round, and the timing to get our doors opened up again couldn't be better. You'll want to be sure to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum to check out all of the new 2020 Sprint Car shirts, jewelry, books, and merchandise that has already arrived for the season. And you'll definitely want to see the new Salute to Champion Greg Hodnett exhibit inside our museum, featuring eight of the sprint cars that Greg drove during his illustrious career, including Greg's B-Mod race car that he won his first feature race in. And you'll see all of the behind-the-scenes equipment that Greg Hodnett used his engineering degree on to fine-tune his race cars long before his competitors caught on to Greg's technology. This and Sprint Car Racing's Greatest Achievers, all at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Welcome back to the driver segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by retired late model driver Gary Crawford. And Gary, let's go back to the beginning. The brown 1968 number 4 Chevelle, what a beautiful looking car. How did that deal come about, and how did you do with that car?
Well, I didn't get to race that car very long, only a couple of times, and they sold the car. And the guy that I was driving for said I would never make it. So anyway, the promoter actually took me over to a guy by the name of Ed Sanger. And I actually came from the drag racing era where in high school, and, you know, I was always tearing around with muscle cars and things like that. And I was always at the drag strip on Sundays. And the promoter, they got a hold of me from the Independence Racetrack, and they didn't have anybody at Independence that actually raced, and they wanted a local guy to spark some interest or that people would recognize the name and things like that. So they took me over there, and Ed had an old 64 Chevelle sitting out there that a guy couldn't drive by the name of Ron Smith, brought it back from, I think it was in Arizona or some bad time, and brought it back and couldn't make it work. And so Ed told us to take that and try it. And then I had a very good career with Ed for like a long time. I drove for him for a long time, and he took cars to Florida for me to run down there, and we had a very, very good relationship. And then I finally kind of broke off and went on my own then in later years. And so that's kind of how I got going. And with the number 10, our county license plate was number 10, and we were the 10th county in Iowa of the 99 counties. And the promoters decided I should be number 10 because I would be the only guy from here racing. So that's how it ended up with the number 10.
You raced during a period when many fans feel it was the height of late model racing. The transition from cars that look like streetcars to sleek bodies with huge rear spoilers. Also, incredible late model specials all over the area.
Oh, I guess I can't help you much there. I don't know. Life, race, and career. I guess I never really ever needed to remember, I guess, stuff because, you know, it wasn't just me. I had a good bunch of guys around me that helped me, and we were just a bunch of guys that just seemed to work good together. And I don't know, just the way it happened. We don't even know now, and we never knew that we were going to win so many features, and we didn't know we were going to do all these things that we had done and all these Hall of Fame things that were in. We had no idea that that was ever going to happen. I mean, we just were going and doing as best we could do. So I don't know. I guess every once in a while somebody will say something about some town or some state or something, and I'll go, oh, yeah, I was there once, you know. But otherwise, I can't help you much.
Another big one was the Yankee Dirt Classic. Every late model driver wanted to win that one. What are your memories of running that event?
Yeah, they used to have the Yankee. They used to have a Falstaff race. They used to have a Miller 100 lappers. We always ran 100 lappers back in them days, and everybody wanted to win the Yankee once. I guess the best shot I had, I was leading by a long ways, and they told me on the radio to slow down, you know, that I was way ahead, and they thought I was going too fast. I slowed down a little bit, or what I thought was a little bit. And the next thing I know, Leon Plank passed me, and I think I got a second and third or something out of that after being so far ahead. And I think that was the last time we used radios, I think. But I don't know. Everybody wanted to win the Yankee at one time. That was a big deal. But Farley had it for quite a while, did pretty good, but now I believe it's pretty much gone or a thing of the past. It's hard to get people like it was then. There's so many things going on in everybody's life now, and kids have more softball, baseball, soccer, all kinds of things like that. So there's so many more things for them to do, and so it's just hard. I don't think we'll ever see the people like we did back then that were so dedicated to going to racing and following racing, and now it's just kind of a hit and miss thing, but we're trying with the younger people to get them interested and, you know, things like that. I have a 16-year-old grandson racing now, and his 14-year-old brothers take your help. Them two are taking care of the car and doing about everything, and they've gotten quite a bit of attention because they're both young and they're getting quite of a following. Well, we need some new blood and something exciting, you know, or something to get the interest back, you know, and so that's what we're really trying to do now.
You also ran late models at the legendary Dubuque Fairground Speedway in the NASCAR Late Model Series. That is a really cool place.
Yeah, I think we won a lot of races there. I believe one year we won them all, but maybe one or something. But, you know, that's a cool place, too. And then we had that NASCAR thing for quite a while that, you know, we went all over. I think it was 79. I think I won the NASCAR championship. We just had a lot more going on back then than seems to, you know, now. But the other night they had 1,000 to win for late models, and they only had 10 of them. So, I mean, if that was 20, 30 years ago, we'd had 50 cars trying to get $1,000, you know. So things are just different.
Gary, yeah, that was a pretty good year. I think that was 1986. You won every race there except one, and 87 wasn't a bad year for you either.
Yeah, like I said, there was just a bunch of guys that were good together, and they took really good care of the car. They all had full-time jobs and done this on their spare time, and they scheduled their vacations when we had to go like a long ways from home to race. Or back then we didn't have cell phones or nothing. We just picked up the Hawkeye Racing News and fumbled through it till we seen a race somewhere that thought, well, that'd be kind of neat, you know, paid pretty good or whatever, and we'll head for that, you know. So that's kind of how it come, you know. We kind of barnstormed around the country, I guess you might say, you know.
When you think back on this fact, 1967 to 1990, you were in the top 20 in all Iowa points for late model drivers. That includes the likes of Ed Sanger, Roger Dolan, Kurt Hansen, Don Hoffman, Dennis Hovengay, and Tom Bartholomew. That's a pretty stellar list.
That's a pretty good list, but like I said, it's just hard to believe. You know, we didn't know we were doing all that back then. We were just doing the best we could. And I go to the races and sit with Ed Sanger right now and everything. I mean, we've remained great friends over the years, and he had a lot of accomplishments, and I give him all the credit for taking a chance on me, because he didn't know me from a box of rocks when they introduced me to him, and yet he took a shot at me. So that was a pretty neat story in itself right there, you know.
Lester Red Drolley has been gone for 10 years now. What are your memories of Red?
Oh, gosh. Red always had something going on, and when he drove actually for Ed for a while, too, and Ed and him would just argue and argue all the time, and it was just amazing. I mean, Red was just like a cartoon. You never knew what he was going to do or come up with. And I mean, he was just something else. But, you know, he was right decent, you know, driver, but he was always having some kind of con going on, it seemed like. But he was certainly hilarious to be around and everything. He was something else, but I'll tell you. But he didn't always have the finest cars, but he got everything out of them they had, I can tell you that.
We recently lost Verlin Aker not long after we inducted him into the Chateau Speedway Hall of Fame. What are your memories of Verlin?
Verlin was a good friend of mine. Actually, we raced really good together, Verlin and I. We would talk sometimes, and I think Verlin went with us to several races, and we flew just several races together, and Verlin was an excellent half-miler. I mean, he was really, really good on the half-mile. He won the Yankees, like, and the Falstaffs and the Millers. And, I mean, he drove for Ed then for a while, too. He was really good. He was a very, very, I guess you'd call him a gentleman. He was really a gentleman racer. Very, very nice guy.
The first time I met you in person was at the Steve Yagi Race Reunion in 2018. What a great way to catch up with fans and friends that you haven't seen for many years.
Oh, gosh, it was just awesome. I mean, we took a couple of our old cars up there, and they drew a lot of attention, and people that were going to make cars that represented them and things like that got good ideas and kind of inspired them, I think, to get going on them and things like that. But we just had a great time. Me and Ed sat there and signed autographs and stuff for hours, you know, and talking to the different people. And it was really a fun deal. The time went so fast, and it was just such a great time to see all them people show up and all the stories and talking. And it was just a great deal. You know, we're losing a lot of them guys like Verlin and the older ones. And, well, we just lost Dave Noble and Red Drolley and Red Drosty and Bill Swanzinger, and all them guys that are, you know, the first generation. I kind of come along as a youngster behind all them guys. They were all pretty well established when I started, and, you know, I really looked up to a lot of them guys, and, but boy, they were a lot of them were tough and they were mean and they weren't. You had to be tough growing up around that bunch, I'll tell you.
Your car that you brought to the Steve Yagi reunion, the beautiful red number 10 Camaro, how did you find that car after all these years?
It happened to be a weird deal. A friend of mine was looking for Mustang parts over in the hills somewhere over Wisconsin or by there somewhere, was looking for Mustang parts. He was trying to restore a Mustang, and all of a sudden, there was this chassis sitting up on the truck frame, and so it wasn't on the ground or anything. And so then he asked the guy about it, and he said, well, yeah, that was my old car. And so then he called me, and I thought, boy, I better try to get that thing rounded up if it was. And so I wasn't real sure. There was a few copies and stuff after that, that different guys copied Ed's cars. That happened to be one of Ed's chassis. And so I got a hold of Ed and had him go look at it. I said, these guys are saying this is one of my cars, but I don't really want to get involved unless it really is. And you would know better than anybody whether it was. And he was really, really receptive to going to look at it. So he went to look at it, and he called me, and he says, Crawford, I will guarantee you that is your car. He said, you better get that car out of there. And so that's kind of how it come about, and it was just basically the tubes, all the tubes were there, and it had been hit hard on the right side, and that's why they retired it, because the right door bars were caved in, right around the cowl area and stuff was caved in, and had a pretty hard hit. Well, then we got all that fixed and pipe vents and straightened out, and then we went to work on it then, and we had a lot of the parts from the old days and the motors, the big blocks, and of course the steering and things like that were still on it. Part of the steering was still there, and some of the Holman Moody parts that Ed had used back then, like half of the car had the Holman Moody on and the other half had the Ford copies, which were quite a bit lighter. And so we started with that, and then we kind of pieced it together after that with the same, rear ends like we ran back then and big blocks like we ran back then, and just kind of put it together, I guess. So that's kind of how it come about, really.
That car has tremendous history. It has won over 50 feature races.
Yeah, I don't know. It won a lot of them. It was a good car. It really was. I don't know, back then, it's hard to imagine running a 100-lapper now without power steering, but my gosh, back in the day, we ran a lot of them 100-lappers during the day, and we'd go someplace and look for another place to race that night, it's just nobody told us we couldn't do that. So I don't know. It just seemed like it'd be hard to do now. But I remember racing like 21 nights. We raced 21 nights in a row, and them guys all had full-time jobs. But still, we raced 21 nights in a row with all the fair races and the different races and the weekly races. And so, we spent a lot of time in them Chevrolet motels.
Also, that car won the very first NASCAR Winston Cup late model racing series in 1979.
That is correct. Yeah, that was the car. Yep.
The old open haulers were also some of the coolest things I've ever seen. Some of the restorations on some of those old haulers, the drivers really got creative with some of those combinations, and it was great to see the cars with the haulers.
Yeah, we really had some nice looking haulers where the car went on behind the cab there, and then when we went to the four-door cabs and then the aluminum beds and things like that, that was really the way to go before everybody started doing the enclosed trailers and that kind of stuff. But when I think back, the ride that them things had traveling all over the country was so much nicer than pulling a trailer and things like that. It was kind of ahead of our time there. A lot of people had just the open bumper hitch trailers, and when we had them haulers that would actually haul the car. I mean, that was pretty neat for the time, you know.
Your longtime sponsor, Vandenberg Chevrolet, how did you get hooked up with them?
Actually, he got hooked up with me because Vandenberg's bought the Chevrolet garage here in town, and then he got a hold of me, and he was really excited about that racing and wanted to be part of it, or I guess that's how we ended up with them new haulers and things like that, because then we bought them through him and things like that. So he did a great job with our parts things and just a lot of things like that. And he had a younger son that just loved going to the races with us, and it was just neat times until he sold the garage and that kind of went away, and times have just changed, you know.
What an honor to get to drive the independent Speedway Pace car in a parade. That old Catalina convertible is really cool. Looks like you had a lot of fun that day.
I do the national anthem. I usually have different people and a lot of kids. They just seem to really love that thing. And it's so big that, you know, we can haul four or five kids in the back seat and got plenty of room left over. And a lot of kids love to ride in that. And then I parade each one of the features, and kind of that way it keeps them guys kind of in line where they can't be zooming all over the track. It gets them lined up quicker and find a difference in speed in the different classes that you come around there. Some of the classes, you know, you can hardly drive slow enough, and then when you get to the late models, boy, I'll tell you what, they're ready to go. They're right on your bumper pushing you, and when them kids look out that back of that old Catalina and see them cars tucked up under us, guys like Jeff Ikey, they'll pull right up within inches from us and reach out and try to touch them guys. They'll be waving at them and everything. And so it really makes it interesting and keeps me kind of interested in it. I really enjoy doing it. And I don't know how many years I've done it now, but 6, 7, I suppose, maybe, or more. And it just seems like it's just kind of different, kind of neat, you know.
Logan and Landon, what is it like for you to enjoy racing through those two boys again?
It's really something else. It's almost hard to believe. I mean, they never ever seen me race because they're you know, quite so much younger. But so many of the things they do just sort of remind you of the way we did things. And I mean, of course, they don't even know. They have some kind of secret type language we don't understand. They don't really ever talk much. They just seem like they know what each other's thinking and what to do, and they just work on that thing, them two, about all the time themselves. We, you know, I just look at them once in a while and just kind of guide them a little bit here or there and look at things. And but boy, I tell you, they are so dedicated to that, them things. I mean, I have just absolutely ruined them kids. They just don't give up. I mean, they just work on that thing, and Sunday morning after Saturday night, they'll be out here early in the morning washing it and getting their tires all cleaned off real good and getting it in, starting getting ready to go to Dubuque and, you know, working on it. And I mean, they just take that upon themselves. Nobody has to tell them to go do anything or whatever, and they just get after it, which is pretty neat to see younger kids that enthused about racing nowadays.
Getting to race your vintage late model against your grandson had to be a lot of fun.
Well, that was probably one of the first deals, and it was a lot of fun. But boy, I tell you what, he was bound and determined he was going to smoke me, and boy, I tell you, he certainly did. He was bound and determined he was going to show me, you know. And he did. I tell you what, that was a fun deal. I mean, just to be lined up beside him, you know. But I tell you, them old cars, as fast as we were back then, they're sure no match for the cars nowadays, I can tell you that. Because the cars now, if they handle good, the guy just kind of sits in there and the car does the rest. Where, boy, back in them days, I mean, you just had to get a hold of it and muscle it, and you had to hang on. I mean, and you know, it just was different times. I mean, them cars now, I mean, they just drive themselves if you get them right.
I also don't think there is a bigger race fan on the planet than Mama C.
Well, that would be right. She spends time on her phone texting everybody how the boys did, and she does a lot for racing and the PR work and different people. There's three suites at Independence there that are air-conditioned and skyboxes, and she kind of manages them and cleans them and puts different people in them and things like that. So she's really, really into that racing and loves to watch the boys race, and she is really into it, I'm telling you.
The recent storms, to see so many historic Iowa racetracks damaged, has to be tough for you to see.
Yeah, the Marshalltown track where Logan was running, and I think he's the point leader maybe there, that just blew walls down and tore it up bad, and I mean all over the different racetracks that were struggling anyway, and then to get a blow like this, you know, we come by the Hawkeye Down Speedway and them billboards all blow down, the walls, the advertising walls, everything blowed all over, and just so much damage everywhere. It's just hard to imagine, you know, that wind could tear up so much stuff and put so many crops down and 100-year-old trees down, and it's just, very, very devastational. You know, looks like Baghdad in some of them places, you know. I mean, it's just, they're really tore up.
Gary, thank you so much for all of your racing memories, and I hope to see you at a race reunion or a racetrack soon, and thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
You're very welcome, and I hope this virus thing gets away and leaves everybody healthy, and then we get going on some kind of a path to recovery, which would seem more than normal. We forget what normal is anymore, so I hope we can get safe through this thing, and thank you very much.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers products. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. Superior lubricants like JB80 and JB Heavy Duty Chain Lubricants are made for today's farm equipment. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to auto enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products distributor, at 952-934-7354 or visit justicebrothers.com. Go with the winner, Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Fast Shafts has been producing drive shafts for late models, modifieds, dirt trucks, stock cars, and hobby stocks since 1992. Fast Shafts, the official drive shaft for the U.S. MTS and USRA, and title sponsors for the IMCA Fast Shafts All-Star Race and IMCA Super Nationals, support the sport of circle track racing throughout the USA. To get the power from your motor to the tires, run with a proven winner today with the number one choice in carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shafts. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of BP's high-performance products online at vpracingfuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
Aero Race Wheels was established on the conviction that its dedicated staff could provide higher quality wheels designed specifically to endure the tough requirements and conditions of the racing industry. Most importantly, the wheels need to be manufactured and sold, maintaining an affordable price structure. Aero Racing Wheels has become the largest premier steel wheel supplier, and their product line speaks for itself. Upgrade your racing game today at aeroracewheels.com.
Rhino Egg is now raising the bar even more by being the only manufacturer of rotary cutters in the world to factory fill all components with Lucas oil and grease, adding even more value to the Rhino brand over the competition. Quality from the inside out. Visit rhinoegg.com to find a dealer near you.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on the Dirt Show, and I am joined by Doug Miner from Miner's Outdoor in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota. And Doug, you've survived a fire, multiple deployments, and now you're dealing with COVID-19. A small business owner has to be resilient and be able to adapt and keep moving forward.
Yes, very true. Yeah, the whole COVID-19 and the division, and some people feel strongly one way and some feel strongly the other way, and you're working yourself through that. And for the most part, if you're a business that has anything to do with home recreational stuff, it's probably been pretty good, whether it's boats, trampolines, swimming pools, or golf carts. We can say your spring for golf cart sites has been pretty good.
And you make a really valid statement. Through it all, home and business owners still need to maintain their properties. And Miner's Outdoor in Blooming Prairie has been a very busy place, because you can be outdoors on your own property doing projects and not be around anybody else.
Yeah, so for us, you know, the first half of the year has been a pretty good year. But as a business owner and with the uncertainty, I don't know how the second half of the year ends up. And I certainly am more concerned about how next year is going to be, is the true question.
Every single year since the Dirt Show first started, we have done this interview from your fair booth at the Steele County Fair. No fairs. How has this been different for you?
You know, that is a hard pill to swallow. For 18 years, I went to 4 county fairs every year. So this is definitely a first. Through the hustle and bustle, I can tell you, to some extent, it's been okay. But on the flip side of it, you know, we miss seeing all of our customers, thanking the, you know, the previous customers and making new customers and the conversations. And, of course, the Dirt Show. Like you say, we look forward to doing this interview every year at the Steele County Fair, and here we are over the phone.
Doug, you are a very personable guy, and face-to-face sales is what you do.
Yeah. You know, the whole not shaking hands and the personability of transactions in my business and the new way of things has been a little challenging to get used to.
I'm sure your body appreciates not loading up half the store every other week and hauling it to a fair, though.
Yeah, that's been, you know, so for every pro there's a con, and every con there's a pro. So you make the best of it as a business owner, and hopefully we can get through this and everybody comes out with a renewed experience that helps us make decisions for the future.
Since 1995, Husqvarna has been a world leader in robotic mowers. Plus, these mowers come in different sizes, so whether you're doing a small residential home or a large industrial building, they work for everyone.
Yes, absolutely. And truly, their leadership in this robotic lawnmower stuff is second to none. They've got a great product that gives you high-quality lawn care, relatively maintenance-free, and you save up a ton of time in mowing. And I truly think what's happened is our inability to showcase these mowers may kind of slow their progression up a little bit, because, you know, they are kind of new to us around here and unique, but the time savings and the maintenance on them is second to none.
You bring up a great point. We're always looking for ways to save time, whether it's at home, more time with the family and the kids, or whether it's at work, freeing up your maintenance staff to do other things other than just constant lawn maintenance.
Yes, they're incredible. In comparison to a traditional lawnmower with oil and gas and belts and stuff like that, these robotic lawnmowers, you've got blades that are $2 to $3 a piece. You replace them once a month, depending on your lawn, of course. And literally, you clean the unit, put some blades on it, and it takes care of itself. It charges itself, it keeps the lawn mowed, and very friendly.
Husqvarna Zero Turn and conventional mowers, these come with a standard bumper-to-bumper warranty. Husqvarna and Miner's Outdoor has always stood behind what they sell.
Yes, absolutely. Through the growth of our company, it's been nice that we've stuck with one company. We service it from start to finish. It's a great company, it's a great product, and here at Miner's, you know, we take pride in taking care of our customers. If they've bought from us, they go to the top of the list. They make sure we take care of them. And of course, we take care of everybody as good as we can. The industry has, you know, gone through some changes here with the passing of the small repair shops that don't seem to be as readily available to the consumer anymore. So we are an extremely busy shop, but we do take care of those that take care of us.
Another sign of a great business is a knowledgeable counterstaff. For those guys that want to fix their own things at their home shop, they know what I'm talking about. Someone who can diagnose a problem through a conversation or figure out what you need for a part and provide it. That is hard to find now, but Miners Outdoor offers that type of service.
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, that comes with its own set of challenges, you know, because when you bring new employees in, they may not know that. And you're used to, you know, you've trained the customers, oh, yeah, I know what you got, and here's what you need, and da-da-da, you know, and then they come in, and they don't actually know what they have or really don't know what they need, and so it can have its challenges. But we do our best to try to take care of everybody and help them out. If we're busy in the shop and can't, we'll certainly do our best to get you up and running.
Chainsaws, chainsaw accessories, leaf blowers, trimmers. If you use it outdoors, Miner Outdoor provides it, and wood cutting season is right around the corner. So if people need a new saw, a big saw, or any types of accessories, now is the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our selection of chainsaws, we have from the littlest to the biggest saw that Husqvarna makes and everything in between, 30 plus different choices to pick from. Like you alluded to, we have the trimmers and the blowers and all that handheld equipment, and all that stuff comes with a 5-year warranty when you buy their 3 cans of pre-mixed fuel. And then, of course, the new wave is all the battery handheld stuff. And Husqvarna has a full consumer line and a full professional line.
How are your kids doing with the kart racing?
Well, the local track is not going to run here in the 2020 season, so we've been venturing to Fairmont running on the Beamer Bull Ring. So we've made it there 3 times and look forward to going a couple more times. And it's a different style track. The kids enjoy it, and it's an hour and a half pull, but it's worth it.
I know that track just got finished last fall, and they've been getting great car counts.
Yep. But like I say, if, you know, out of 30, 40 cars that they get, 10 of them might be coming from this area. So there's a few of us dragging that way.
Thank you for all that you do to support racing in the area. I have many fans mention that they appreciate what you do to keep the sport healthy.
Yeah, we really enjoy working with the local tracks, Chateau Raceway and Deer Creek Speedway. It's been very enjoyable. Hopefully they're getting good crowds and things are looking good, and hopefully they can sustain through this COVID-19 pandemic, and hopefully we come with some renewed enthusiasm for the 2021 season.
You talked about the busy golf cart season to kick off the year. With that, did you get some great trades in?
So, uniquely, the golf, we started out strong, say, February, but March, we really got nervous because things were slow, and then they seemed to taken off in April. And as far as the tradings go, the stuff is coming and moving through relatively fast, but we will see a lot of probably good trades coming in this fall, because most of the golf courses have enjoyed a relatively good season due to the fact that that's one thing people are able to go do is golf. And so courses are having some good years, so hopefully we'll have some good trades then.
No fairs, no ag shows, no home shows, but you do have a sale. You and Christy have something planned for early September. Can we release any information on that upcoming deal yet?
So at this point, what we're looking forward in September is we want to see what we're going to get for some possible trades on some golf carts, early trades. Once again, trucking and getting the new product to the courses can be a challenge. So golf carts, we're going to see how that goes. As far as the lawnmowers go, you bet we're going to have some year-end savings and no fair sales going in September and try to group it together. We're going to be discounting our in-stock lawnmowers and hopefully have some good choices on some golf carts to get some good fall sales.
Doug, if they'd like to find out information in September about this upcoming sale, how to get to Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie, or any other questions they have about your product line, what's the best way to do that?
Best way is, of course, Facebook. We'll post things on Facebook. That's a great continuity for information. Our website, minersoutdoor.com, or we're a phone call away at 507-583-2712.
Doug, as always, thank you for your time, and thank you for everything you do for racing in the area, and thank you for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
Yeah, thanks, Clayne.
Working at my job, going all day long. Don't want to go and mow my lawn. Pick looking up the phone book, and what do I see? I see Wolf and Sons can't do it for me. Dandelions, I don't want to spray. Free estimates are coming your way. Don't hesitate and learn about more. Call 455-3524.
And if you have some really big outside jobs, Wolf & Sons has the dump trucks, loaders, and graders you need to haul in driveway gravel, black dirt, and clear building sites.
Hello everyone, Chad Weirs, Weirs Machine and Racing Products with another Tech Tip Tuesday for you. Today we're going to talk a little bit about carb adapters. We make all kinds of different two-barrel and four-barrel carb adapters for different style intakes, from a Quadrajet GM intake to a Holley 4412, the four-barrel aluminum intakes with a two-barrel with an adjuster, tapered bore. We make everything with a flared bore to make horsepower, or straight bore when the rules don't let you have the flaring to make horsepower. We do make some 604 crate spacers if you're running a crate engine series. We make four-barrel to four-barrel spacers, half-inch, one-inch tall. And then probably one of the most popular things recently in the dirt racing is to take power away as the grip goes away in the racetrack. So we have all kinds of restrictors to take horsepower away as the night goes on. We make them in one-piece versions, so it's just a one-piece with a tapered bore in there to take horsepower away at the end of the night. Or we make the inserted style where you have a real nice spacer, so you have the standard flare in there when you start out the night and you want max horsepower. And then as the night progresses and the track loses grip, then you would put a smaller reducer in there to take horsepower away. These insertable styles are available in 1-inch and 2-inch tall, and the one-piece versions are also available in 1-inch or 2-inch tall. The reducers are available in a 1-inch that takes away 14% of the horsepower, an inch and an eighth takes away 7% of the horsepower, and the inch and a quarter takes away 4% of the horsepower. So you simply multiply your horsepower by that percentage, and that'll tell you how much horsepower each insert would take away roughly. Or you can buy them, take them to your engine builder, and then he can run all of them through the process and give you an accurate number on how much horsepower they're going to take away on your engine combination. For more information on these or any of our fine products, check them out at weirsmachine.com.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a PowerLift architectural door on your home or cabin. PowerLift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last, PowerLift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Kelly or Rod. PowerLift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packing products when it comes to shipping your business products? Foamcraft Packaging in Owatonna provides a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call 455-2893. That's 455-2893.
Hi, this is Jim Misgan from Misgan Auto Parts. Misgan Auto Parts has been buying junkers and providing parts to our customers since 1972.
And our other vintage lot down at Glenville, M2 Auto Parts,
with used parts for all years of vehicles and recycling services. Misgan Auto Parts recycles smashed, rusty, worn-out cars, trucks, and ag equipment. And we ship out parts daily. Call us today, 684-2100, or check us out at Misgan.com.
Kohl's Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Kohl's Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Kohl's other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Kohl's Electric in Owatonna. Licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, brought to you by Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings. And as we talked the last time, Speed, tomatoes are ready in the garden. And when I think tomatoes, I think BLTs, and you make one that is to die for.
Well, see, and I cheat a little bit. I kind of skip the L part of it. I normally just do the BT, just the bacon and tomato. But see, and I do mine, people looked at me kind of odd. Of course, I do a lot of odd things, so they kind of always look at me that way, Clayne. But I do mine on hamburger buns. What shape is a tomato? Round. So why not do it on a hamburger bun instead of a piece of bread? I think I'm a genius there, but some people think I'm weird there. So just think whatever you want to think, you know. But I like to just take the hamburger bun, split it apart, drop it down in the toaster, just toast it a little bit, pop it out of there, and then I use Spin Blend salad dressing. I prefer that over Miracle Whip, but put that Spin Blend salad dressing on it, and then a nice slice of tomato that fits the round bun real good. And then I do probably 2 or 3 pounds of bacon up at a time on my smoker, and you can do it on your grill too on low, but I do it on my smoker. I get the thick sliced bacon, and then I set my Traeger smoker at about 325 or 350 and lay that bacon on there and then sprinkle it with Cookies Flavor Enhancer seasoning. Just let it cook on there just before it starts to get crisp and pull it off of there. Put 2 slices on my sandwich, and I just eat them open-faced. But then the extra bacon, I just put that in the refrigerator. When I want a bacon and tomato sandwich, just pull a couple strips out and throw it in the microwave for like 20 or 30 seconds, and it just heats it up, and it's ready to go. So I can have, if I want a late-night snack before I go to bed, I can have me a quick bacon and tomato sandwich right before I go to bed clean.
Speed, another thing that people may not know, if you think you have a great idea for some of these great vegetables coming out of the garden, a great recipe, you can always send it to Speed because you always like to try new recipes.
Just send them to speed@cookiesbbq.com, and then I can put it together and take a picture of it, and we can stick it on our Facebook page. Yeah, that's a good idea, Clayne. Yeah, because a friend of mine down in Des Moines a couple of weeks ago gave me one with tomatoes with flavor enhancer on it and a Mexican soft cheese and just popped them in the microwave. And so, no, I get a lot of good recipes from the listeners out there, so certainly don't be afraid to send them in.
And check out your website, right?
You betcha, cookiesbbq.com.
The dependable start you've been looking for this year can be found at your local Napa Auto Parts store. Napa Automotive Batteries are the best in the business, and throughout August, you'll receive $25 back by mail with any automotive battery purchase. Plus, keep it rolling stronger, longer, with a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $16.49. Don't forget to pair it with a Napa Platinum Oil Filter designed for full synthetic oils. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse.
Cookies.
We've all heard the old saying, going the extra mile. When it comes to repairing your vehicle, that old saying rings true at Midwest Collision in Faribault. You may have to drive that extra mile, but Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will reward you with quick and educational estimates. Plus, they'll go the extra mile to make sure you are completely satisfied with your repair. Call Midwest Collision today at 332-2434. They're miles ahead of the competition.
Pulver Motor Service is far more than towing and recovery. Pulver has the versatility and tools to move anything with wheels. Why should you invest in a truck and trailer when for a fraction of the cost, Pulver can move your heavy equipment to the job site and back? With our years of experience and investment in equipment, Pulver Motor Service isn't limited by size, weight, or distance. See for yourself at PulverMotorService.com. Contact us today and find out how we can help move your business forward.
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Last Thursday night, the one and only non-nationals at the Knoxville Raceway kicked off last Thursday night, August 13th. In the 25-lap 410 Wing Sprint Car A Main, it was Kyle Larson over Logan Schuhart. KRA Speedway in Wilmer was also racing last Thursday night, August 13th. In the Hornet feature, Matthew Dittman over Justin Skalitsky. In the Midwest Modifieds, Brandon Merworth over Justin Borkland. In the Mod 4s, it was Dean Larson over Tommy Bowden. In the Modifieds, Don Eichens over Justin A-Strike. In the Street Stocks, Justin Vogel over Kyle Dykoff. In the Super Stocks, it was Shane Sabraski over Gary Hussman. And in the Pure Stock A-Main,
Cody Hatch over Jordan Farrix. The Night of a Thousand Stars was going on last Thursday night, August 13th at Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa. In the A-modified 50-lap feature, Ethan Braxma over Richie Gustin. In a stock car A-main, Derek Green over Jake Masters. In the sport mods, Cody Thompson over Brian Osentowski. In the hobby stocks, Brandon Nielsen over Carter Coop. And in the sport compact A-main, Katie DeVries over Tyler Feeblecorn. Last Friday night, August 14th, they were racing at Chateau Speedway. In the Hornet A-main, Nate Koopman over Daniel Knish. In the Midwest modifieds, it was the red one, Dan Wheeler over Travis Underdahl. In the Pier stocks, Brady Kronberg over Michael Wick. In the street stocks, Corey Adams over Braden Brower. In the USRA B-mods, Noah Grinstead over Aaron Hoff. In the USRA Modified A-Main, Jason Cummins over Tayton Hansen. And in the super stocks, Dan Nasalki over Neil Eckhart. Friday night, August 14th, was also night two at Knoxville Raceway. In the 25-lap 410 wing sprint car A-Main, it was David Gravel over Kyle Larson. We were at Mississippi Thunder Speedway last Friday night, August 14th. What a great night for racing. In the Hornets, Jeremy Johnson over Hunter Miller. In the USRA B-Mod A-Main, Sean Walski over Jimmy Pansner. In the hobby stocks, Chris Hoofden over Seth Scholl. In the late models, Joe Provencino over Derek Nelson. And in the USRA Modified A-Main, Cool Hand Luke Lucas Schott over Rodney Sanders. Last Saturday night, August 15th, was the most lucrative night of sprint car racing in the United States, $50,000 to win at the Capitani Classic. And in the 30-lap A-Main, it was Kyle Larson over David Gravel. Arlington Raceway was also running last Saturday night, August 15th. In the hobby stocks, Corey Probst over Roger Jenvings. In the sport compacts, Alan Lahr over RJ Esquita. In the sport mods, Chris Zaldorf over Jeff Carter. In the carts, your winners were Carter Brown, Cole Allen, and Jackson Lewis. In the modified A-Main, Dan Menk over Chad Porter. In the outlaw hobby division, Brian Oppitz over Maury Oestreich. In the sprint car A-Main, Neil Stevens over Trevor Service. And in the stock cars, Dan McInthune over Paul Berger. Fairmont Raceway was racing last Saturday night, August 15th. In the sport mods, Jared Baumeister over Matthew Loaf. In the stock cars, Jeff Larson over Kelly Shryock. In the sport compact feature, Brandon Hartman over Jaden Erickson. In the A-Mod feature, Kelly Shryock over Oliver Kolofsky. And in the hobby stock A-Main, Parker Larson over Dan Strandberg. The vintage cars were also on hand, with the victory going to Bob Soma. Madison Speedway was racing last Saturday night, August 15th. In the Hornets, Brady Hagen over Brock Claith. In the Midwest Mods, Corey Storks over Derek Ricks. In the Modifieds, Brian Haben over Troy Behrens. In the Street Stocks, Mike Jans over Jim Williams. In the Super Stocks, Corey Elward over Braden Hedke. In the Stock Cars, Jordan Farrix over Michael Brockman. And in the Economy Late Models, Keith Canold over Chris Wilkie. Deer Creek Speedway was also racing last Saturday night, August 15th. In the USRA B-Mod A-Main, Brian Maitland over Jim Chisholm. In the Modifieds, Brandon Davis over Jake O'Neill. In the Midwest Mods, Mitch Weiss over Dylan Godel. In the Street Stocks, Dustin Doty over Cole Richards. And in the Super Stocks, Dan Nasalki over Shanty Sanders. Viking Speedway in Alexandria was also racing last Saturday night, August 15th. In the Midwest Mods, Brendan Blazek over Brock Groenwald. In the Modified A-Main, Josh Thonas over Brady Gertis. In the Street Stocks, Andrew Bangson over Justin Vogel. In the Super Stocks, Matt Miller over Jeff Krause. And in the late models, Ryan Mickelson over Dustin Johannick. And Ogilvy Raceway was racing August 15th. In the Midwest Modifieds, Travis Schulte over Randy Lang. In the Mod 4s, Dustin Holquist over Tommy Bowden. In the Hornets, Carter Ryland over Nate Servatni. In the Modifieds, Dan Ebert over Dennis Check. In the Street Stocks, Russell Kostreba over Parker Anderson. And in the Super Stock A-Main, Shane Sabraski over Dexton Cook.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.